At this time, I bring on one of the most knowledgeable men in broadcasting. His name is Tom Joyner. He is one of the greatest analyzers. He's a talk show host, having started many, many years ago. And we're just proud to have one of America's top analysts on the airwaves with us from time to time, Mr. Tom Joyner. Tom, you are a great broadcaster. You probably do as much research as any broadcaster I know anything about. People are confused today. Some listen to the mainstream media. They tell us one thing, but you tell us another thing oftentimes. So tell us why we should not believe the mainstream media.
Well, I have no bias, Carl. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent. I am not a person who discriminates against anybody, be it a woman or a gay person or a black person. I do my research so that you can depend upon what I'm telling you. And I'll comment on several subjects today. As our country is changing fast with a new president who keeps his promises to the American people. What a novel concept that is. The liberal juggernaut headed by leftists like Obama, Clinton, Pelosi, Reid, and Schumer was stopped in its tracks by an American electorate who had grown tired of liberal policies that threatened to bankrupt us fiscally and morally. Still, liberal Democrats and a dishonest, biased mainstream media are willing to destroy our country in order to discredit Donald Trump and his efforts for badly needed reforms. They whine about how illegal immigrants are simply folks seeking a better life, when in fact, their numbers would be far smaller if the American taxpayers did not have to sacrifice part of their better life to pay cash and benefit rewards for those breaking our laws. Let's get one thing on the record. The taxpayers of the United States do not owe immigrants a better life. We have American citizens among us who also would like a better life, and our money should be spent on that pursuit first. The world has changed since the immigrants of the 1900s came here, seeking to learn English, to abide by our laws, to assimilate, and to become proud American citizens. They did not expect, nor did they demand, cash and benefits on the backs of the working Americans. Contrast that to today, when hordes of immigrants flood onto our shores, some legal, some illegal, but all expecting and receiving rewards for coming here. The immigrants of the 1900s, who did help build this country, did not come here seeking to change our laws and customs. They did not come here expecting our tax dollars to support them, nor did they bring with them death and destruction. President Trump is right to temporarily stop immigrants from entering our country from foreign lands where violence is a way of life. 66% of Americans agree with him. The 24% who disagree get all of the media's attention. Now, this is not just a pause to vet Muslims. We have to start somewhere, and the obvious place to start is with people coming here who have a record of seeking to force us to change our laws and customs to the ways of the country they are fleeing. All of the past five presidents have taken similar actions, banning immigrants, including Barack Obama. There was no outcry from liberal Democrats when that happened. No one, including Donald Trump, is proposing to stop all immigration into America. In fact, seven of the countries that have been named in this temporary ban were actually listed by the Obama administration as terror sites. The difference is that Trump took action while Obama refused to act. This temporary ban on arrivals from seven countries where terrorists are trained and financed is far overdue. I find it ironic that congressional Democrats are stalling the confirmation of the president's cabinet members by demanding that each of them be fully vetted, right down to their views on subjects that offer no violence to our country. And yet, they launch protests against our president for stalling immigrants entering America until they can be fully vetted as to their potential for harm to our country. These protests are just a continuation of the liberal followers of Hillary Clinton who lost the election to Trump. Muslims hurt Muslims first. Perhaps this pause in immigration will cause the Muslims who seek to be a part of America rather than blow America apart will begin to speak up and identify those among them who are terrorists. If they are not supporters of radical Islamic extremism, then the president's executive order is not about them at all. It is not about Islam. It is about Islamic extremism. If you are truly peaceful, we can all work together. But you have to make that clear, and we have a right to demand that you are not anti-American nor radical Islamists. Peaceful Muslims, like all peaceful immigrants, should have no fear of extreme vetting. We have to kill the terrorists, yes. But beyond that, we have to kill the ideology itself. Now, once we have in place the means to tell the immigrants who want to assimilate into our country from the immigrants who seek to destroy us, we can turn to a system of immigration that offers hope to the immigrants, but security for our people as well. Look at the crowds of these protesters. They are immigrants themselves seeking to keep the status quo, or naive liberals who choose ignorance over common sense. These protesters are the same people who attacked Trump at every opportunity in running for president. He told us what he would do as president to seal our border and to make us more secure. And that's what he's doing. That's what he was elected to do. But the intolerant left in America continues the same assault against this president. They have never let up since the election, and they will continue to grab at any chance to undermine this president. They are hate-filled, vicious people. They preach tolerance until it is time for them to be tolerant. Then we have the despicable politicians like Elizabeth Warren, who grab their bullhorns and play politics with our lives. This temporary ban on arrivals from seven countries where terrorists are trained and financed is overdue. I find it ironic that congressional Democrats are stalling the confirmation of the president's cabinet members by demanding that each of them be fully vetted, right down to their views on subjects that offer no violence to our country, and yet they launch protests against the president for stalling immigrants entering America until they can be fully vetted as to their potential for harm to our country. These protests are not just a continuation of the liberal followers of Hillary Clinton. They are being paid to do this. Now, Muslims hurt Muslims first. Perhaps this cause in immigration will cause the Muslims who seek to be a part of America, rather than blow America apart, will begin to speak up and identify those among them who are terrorists. If Muslims in our country are not supporters of radical Islamic extremism, then the president's executive order is not about them. It is not about Islam. It is about Islamic extremism. If you are truly peaceful, we can all work together. But you have to make that clear, and we have a right to demand that you are not anti-American nor radical Islamists. Peaceful Muslims, like all peaceful immigrants, should have no fear of extreme vetting. We do have to kill the terrorists, yes. But beyond that, we have to kill the ideology itself. Once we have in place the means to tell the immigrants who want to assimilate into our country and culture, from the immigrants who seek to destroy us, We can turn to a system of immigration that offers hope to the immigrants, but security for our people as well. Look at the crowd of protesters. They are immigrants themselves, seeking to keep the status quo. Or naive liberals who choose ignorance over common sense. These protesters are the same people who have been attacking Trump at every opportunity. He told us what he would do as president to seal the border and make us more secure. And that's what he's doing. He was elected to do that. But the intolerant left in America continues their same assault against this president. They have not let up since the election, and they will continue to grab at any chance to undermine this president. They are hate-filled, vicious people. They preach tolerance until it's time for them to be tolerant. Then we have the despicable politicians like Elizabeth Warren, who grab their bullhorns and play politics with our lives. We have plenty of poverty right here in America, in places like West Virginia, where Obama and Clinton destroyed so many families who have worked our coal mines for generations, or in the hollers of Kentucky, where families live day to day, or urban communities where there is no hope and where they never saw change from Obama. We need money to educate these people, to retrain them for job skills, but instead our tax dollars have gone to support immigrants, legal and illegal, who are a financial burden on our society. No other country allows that across its borders. Let me give you a true personal story that will show what government could do with our tax dollars that would benefit the country. Due to a serious hip problem, I had to leave the Navy, and I was faced with a handicap that dictated that I find employment where I'd not have to be on my feet all day. With no abundance of job skills, I searched for the path in life, and it came when the North Carolina Vocational Rehabilitation Office provided me with less than $700 in aid to get me through Elkins School of Electronics in Atlanta. That enabled me to find a career in broadcasting that has lasted for more than 53 years. And in return, I have repaid millions of dollars in taxes, both federal and state. Ann and I provide several yearly university scholarships. My companies have created thousands of jobs. We ask for nor received one penny for our daughter to graduate from Meredith College. The money for both of our granddaughters' college educations is there without seeking aid. We left that aid for others who could not afford college. We took care of our parents financially as they grew old, rather than ask for or receive government assistance. All of that because the taxpayers of the state of North Carolina invested less than $700 in a trade school to help kickstart my career. That's where our tax money should be going, not benefits paid out to people who come here illegally, or even to those who come here legally. We should accept those who can take care of themselves and reject those who will be a constant drain on society. We have an obligation to Americans first. All of us want to be compassionate people, but there's a limit to the ability to be compassionate. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. If you take an immigrant into your home, you're showing compassion. If you take two or three immigrants, that's showing compassion, if you can afford to do it. But if you have 500 immigrants flood into your home needing the necessities of life, your own life suffers. You destroy your own family. That's not compassion. That's ignorance. And our country has been guilty of that kind of ignorance for decades. Liberals like to call for that kind of compassion from our country, but they do not disrupt their own private lives in that pursuit. They are all talk and no action. As for the liberal argument about dreamers, kids that have been sent here by their parents to get a foothold that would allow the parents then to demand entry too, so as not to break up the families, the argument is specious. These immigrant kids are here because the parents chose to break up the family by either coming here themselves and leaving the kids behind, or by sending the kids off with traffickers to get them into America illegally. Why, then, is breaking up the family now any more important than breaking up the family that caused the problem by that time? By all means, we should not break up families. Let them return to their home country with the whole family intact. Now, I have a serious problem with Mexico demanding what we can build or not build. Central Americans from places like Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala cause so many problems for Mexico that the Mexicans built a wall on their southern border to stop the influx of those immigrants. That same country, Mexico, wants to tell us that we cannot build a wall on our southern border for the same reasons. Those who argue that we can't afford a wall that would cost $12 to $35 billion forget to subtract the cost of illegal immigration in America. Listen carefully to some facts from the Heritage Foundation as to why building a wall and securing our border would be a drop in the bucket compared to our lax immigration policies of the past. U.S. taxpayers, that's you and me, provide four types of benefits and services relevant to this issue. The first are direct benefits. These include Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, and workers' compensation. The second are means-tested welfare benefits. There are over 80 of those programs, which, at the cost of nearly $900 billion a year, provide cash, food, housing, medical, and other services to roughly 100 million low-income Americans. Major programs include Medicaid, food stamps, the Earned Income Tax Credit, public housing, supplemental security income, and the temporary assistance for needy families. Then there's public education at a cost of $12,300 per pupil per year. These services are largely free or heavily subsidized for low-income parents. The fourth is population-based services like the police, fire, highways, parks, and similar services. As the National Academy of Sciences determined in its study of the fiscal costs of immigration, generally we have to expand as new immigrants enter our communities. Somebody has to bear the cost of that expansion. The cost of these government services is far larger than most people imagine. For example, in 2012, the average U.S. household received $31,584 in government benefits and services in those four categories I listed above. The governmental system is highly redistributing our money. Well-educated households tend to be net tax contributors, meaning the taxes they pay exceed the direct and means-tested benefits, education, and population-based services they receive. For example, in 2010, in the whole U.S. population, households with college-educated heads, on average, received $24,839, $24,839 government benefits, while paying $54,089 in taxes. The average college-educated household thus generated a fiscal surplus of $29,250 that government then used to finance benefits for other households. But those other households are net tax consumers. The benefits they receive exceed the taxes they pay. These households generate a fiscal deficit that must be financed by taxes from other households or by government borrowing. For example, in 2010, the U.S. population as a whole, households headed by persons without a high school degree, on average received $46,582 in government benefits while paying only $11,469 in taxes. The high deficits of poorly educated households are important when it comes to the issue of the debate on amnesty for illegal immigrants, because the typical unlawful immigrant has only a 10th grade education. half of the unlawful immigrant households are headed by an individual with less than a high school degree. And another 25% of household heads only have a high school degree. Taking the call for amnesty aside, under current law, all unlawful immigrant households together have an aggregate annual deficit of around $54.5 billion. And critics argue that a security wall would be too expensive. It's free when you stop the outgo of taking care of these unlawful immigrants. The steps that Donald Trump has taken in the first weeks of office are steps that should have been taken decades ago, but we have no politician with a stiff enough spine to take on the critics on the left. The far-left liberal agenda was upended by Trump's election. They could not fathom what happened. A look at the election map shows that the liberal Democratic strength is pretty much confined to the East and West Coast. The popular vote that Democrats say went to Hillary Clinton was almost 100% contained in the far-left state of California, a state that is hopelessly in debt and yet sees a move among its most radical leftists for California to leave the Union and form its own country. Hollywood elites champion that idea. They live in a fantasy world, and they embrace all that their make-believe world allows. Before the election was decided, liberal Democrats and Hillary Clinton herself questioned whether conservatives or Donald Trump himself would honor our country's tradition of the peaceful transfer of power from one president to another, or whether we'd oppose it. Conservatives had shown in 2008 and again in 2012 that election results that did not go in our favor would nevertheless be accepted peacefully. All of that whining from liberal Democrats and Clinton was before the election results were known. After it became apparent that Trump would win legally, the very people who had been admonishing conservatives to respect the election took to the streets with riots, setting fires, looting, and anarchy. Dozens of Democrats, led by zealots like Congressman John Lewis and a certifiably loony Maxine Waters, boycotted the presidential inauguration and publicly stated that they would do all possible to undermine Donald Trump. Of course, by doing that, they set a course for despair in America. Now, I have great respect for the contributions of John Lewis in the civil rights struggle of 50 years ago, but I have no respect for the politician John Lewis today, who has become a small-minded, highly partisan demagogue. As for the dishonest mainstream media, they had done all possible to derail Trump and promote Clinton before the election, and they have continued their assault on truth after the election has been decided. Their constant stream of biased attacks against Trump resulted in low approval ratings for the man, and the dishonest media pointed to those low approval ratings as if Trump had earned them, rather than the nasty campaign they had waged to lower his approval ratings. What they refuse to address are their own low approval ratings. Among the public, public approval for the media is at its lowest possible rating. They have 14% approval rating. Only 14% of Americans approve of the tactics of the mainstream media. And that number is going down, not up, as media bias increases. In Trump's second day in office, the media reported that Trump had brought back the bust of Winston Churchill that had been removed by a petty Barack Obama, but had had a bust of Martin Luther King Jr. removed from the Oval Office. Over 3,000 reports of that went out. It was an inflammatory lie, but it went out to the American people more than 3,000 times before it was confirmed that the bust of King was still in the Oval Office. How does a news reporter not confirm such a volatile story before printing it? How do other news outlets seize on the erroneous report without a simple call to the White House to confirm or disprove the lie? That kind of ineptness is why the mainstream media is regarded lower than the belly of a snake slithering in the mud. Let me take for a moment to say sincerely that while I have a very low regard for both Bill and Hillary Clinton, they showed patriotism by attending President Trump's inauguration. That had to be difficult for Hillary Clinton in particular, but she put country above her personal loss. Not so with those liberals who boycotted the peaceful transfer of power. The worst of humanity showed itself in anti-Trump marches and in vile comments from the far left. The singer Madonna, whose last hit was swatting a fly on her penthouse window, railed before the TV cameras and admitted that she had thought a lot about blowing up the White House. This same Madonna had before the election said that she would engage in sex acts with any man who voted for Hillary Clinton. Does that sound like a sane person to you? Then came a truly reprehensible display by the actress Ashley Judd, who literally foamed at the mouth while invoking the name of Hitler against Trump and conservatives. She was truly unhinged. Some of you may not know that Ashley Judd has suffered from mental illness in the past, and she's been treated for it. But apparently those mental issues are still with her. The networks were only too happy to showcase her vile display in repeat after repeat. Of course, we knew that the Black Lives Matter crowd would lace up their sneakers and march for payment from George Soros and other liberal fruitcakes. Al Sharpton would emerge from his hole to chime in, and that was predictable. NBC's Chuck Todd of Meet the Press, who during the election abandoned any journalistic ethics he might have had to feed information to the Clinton campaign. He turned nasty and attacked Trump's advisor Kellyanne Conway on camera. The liberal left's words and actions left no doubt about their lack of ethics or their ability to pursue truth rather than their personal political agenda. And by the way, it's against the law to wear a mask on the streets of Washington, D.C. And yet a great many of these rioters, if not most, posing as protesters, wore masks but were not arrested. When we don't enforce our laws, be they gun laws, immigration laws, tax laws, or masks on the streets of our nation's capital, we give license for lawless behavior. Let me repeat. The hardworking, taxpaying Americans have no obligation to take in and support the world's refugees. Notice that the Arab states will not take in Syrian refugees themselves. They do not want these Islamic extremists in their country, and they know, just as we know, that there are Islamic extremists among the refugees. In addition, it is no secret that followers of Islam have no intention of assimilating into American culture. The stated aim of Islam is to conquer and control the world under Sharia law. How can one remain peaceful and follow a doctrine that demands world domination? As for the liberal logic that President Trump's actions to keep illegal immigrants out of America until they are fully vetted will make Islamists angry, what planet have these people been on? How do you muster more anger than already exists? They want us dead. That's about as angry as you can get. Now, why come to America if you are not willing to assimilate into our culture? The immigrant knows about our customs and culture before trying to come here. Why then get here and demand changes? If they did not eat pork in their country, for instance, why come to a country where Americans enjoy pork and demand a change? If they feel that Allah is the only true God, then why come to a country that is predominantly Judeo-Christian? The answer is world domination under Islamic rule. Muhammad demanded it, the Quran demands it, and the Hadiths demand it, and the followers of Islam expect it. Now, President Trump believes that there is voter fraud in America, and he wants an investigation to prove that, true or false. Why are liberal Democrats so afraid of the truth about voter fraud that they seek to stop any investigation of it? They say there is no widespread voter fraud. But what does widespread mean? Just one instance of voter fraud cancels your vote out. And we know there is more than one instance of voter fraud. Is it 50 people, 500, a million? Every American should want to know that answer. There is a clamor in Washington from Democrats who say that Russia tried to affect the presidential election. Yet there is no evidence whatsoever that there was a widespread effort to affect our election in Russia. And yet Democrats demand an investigation. Fine, investigate that. But don't block an investigation into affecting the votes here at home because you think it's not widespread. We know there is voter fraud in America. The question is, how widespread is it, and how do we prevent it? Requiring a voter to show identification before voting is not discriminatory. As long as every single voter is charged with the same responsibility, how can it be discriminatory? Regardless of race, creed, or gender, every one of us has to give an ID if that's the law. If a person is too ignorant to get an identification card, do we really want them to vote? Why? Ignorant people have no idea who they're voting for and are easily led to the polls with promises of money, drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. It isn't the ignorant voter that we should concern ourselves with. It is the conniving political partisans who use them up like tissue paper. So what exactly is Donald Trump doing as president that is not good for the country? The man showed in the primary that he is the most energetic candidate. In the general election, he worked rings around Hillary Clinton, who thought she did not have to work for votes, but was entitled. In the White House, President Trump has worked from very early in the morning till late at night on the people's business. He's in the office on weekends, not on the golf course. President Trump's cabinet member nominations do not come to government seeking to be millionaires, as politicians have in the past. These cabinet members are giving up luxurious lifestyles to do the work of government. They should be applauded, not denigrated, because they were successful, and yes, rich, in their business lives. For decades, politicians on both sides of the aisle have come to Washington with meager net financial worth, only to leave as millionaires and with lifetime perks off the backs of taxpayers. Trump's cabinet picks don't need to pick our pockets. The president is cracking down on sanctuary cities in America. The very definition of a sanctuary city is a place to hide. We have repeat law offenders coming back into our country to seek the safe haven of a sanctuary city. No one is obeying our laws and needs a sanctuary city. No federal money should go to a city that refuses to cooperate with federal law enforcement. Some cities have even threatened to sue the federal government if they are not allowed to hide lawbreakers and still receive taxpayer funds. Now, Planned Parenthood and its avid supporters are livid that President Trump opposes abortion. The money that's been going to Planned Parenthood could be used to provide medical services for women in need, but not for the violent slaughtering of unborn babies. The argument is made that it's a woman's body to do with as she chooses. That's a valid argument, to a point, but it ignores the fact that a woman has a responsibility to protect her body from pregnancy. There are several ways to prevent pregnancies, and when they are ignored, it is not just the woman's own body in question, but the body inside her body that cannot defend itself. As much as the killing of an unborn baby should offend us, it is reasonable to understand that in the case of rape or incest, the woman had no means to protect herself from pregnancy, and in those instances, rare as they are, the final decision is the woman's to make. But when the means to avoid a pregnancy is widespread and the choice is made not to use those means, abortion is unexcusable. How can anybody condone repeated abortions, as if it was a recreational activity? If everyone who advocates abortion could be made to observe an abortion process, they'd see that the simplistic argument that it's a woman's right to choose has consequences. There are laws against prostitution and laws against assisted suicide. But if it is a person's right to choose what to do with their own body, why do we have those laws? Planned Parenthood was devised by a racist white woman named Margaret Sanger to control the black population in America. She called those people weeds, said they needed to be destroyed. While white babies have been slaughtered by abortion, millions more black babies have been killed. Why black America is not up in arms about that is a mystery. If black lives matter, and I believe all lives matter, then the lives of black babies being aborted also matter. When do you take to the streets for that? Another focus on President Trump's attention is on the United Nations. It is no secret that the United States is hated in the halls of the UN, and yet we have been supplying 22% of their budget for decades, far more than any other country. In 2016, the United States paid more for UN peacekeeping than China, Russia, and Germany combined. The United States has long been the financial pillar of the UN, while other countries either pay paltry amounts late or not at all. It's time to tell the UN that we will pay a share equal to other countries and not a penny more. The value of an organization like the UN that works constantly against our interests is more than suspect. It is counterproductive for our country. Let me end today with a powerful note of hope. Last week, Ann and I took a cruise for charity on the Celebrity Reflection. The charity is Sunshine Kids, and they deal with children who have cancer. They are not a treatment organization, but rather they provide outings for kids with less hope, things like ski trips or a dude ranch experience. I was introduced to the Sunshine Kids by my friend G.W. Bailey, who has been their spokesperson for more than 30 years. You may know G.W. from movies and TV. He played the part of Rizzo, the cigar-chewing motor pool leader in the TV series MASH. He also starred with his riding crop in a few Police Academy movies. And for the past 10 years, he's played the part of Lieutenant Provenza on the TNT channel's hit show Major Crimes. G.W. was with us on the cruise, and his series has been renewed for its 11th year. Ann and I plan to devote our time, energy, and financial aid to this marvelous organization that takes kids out of their worried lives for a few days and brightens their outlook. It's not just a one-time event like Make-A-Wish, which is in itself a great organization. Sunshine Kids is an ongoing experience for those cancer-stricken children. And so I'd urge you to look up Sunshine Kids on your computer and learn about their invaluable work. It's a nationwide organization that puts a smile on the face of kids with cancer every day, 365 days a year. It's worth supporting. Carl?
Well, I'm going to say that Tom Joyner is the Sunshine broadcaster. Thank you for bringing sunshine into my life and the life of thousands and thousands and thousands of other good people that hear you and hear the truth on WTSB. Thank you, Tom Joyner.